Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I know of no criticism leveled against the Christian church from the unbelieving world as often as the criticism that we are all a bunch of hypocrites. I'm sure you've heard that before. And who can blame them, really? On the one hand, we promote love while at the same time condemning those who don't accept our standards of morality. We march to protect the lives of the unborn, but so often we vote against legislation to help babies which are born into poverty. We preach about the sanctity of marriage, but we divorce at about the same rates as does the unbelieving world. While we might not like being labeled as hypocrites, there is much about the criticism that probably is quite often true. The word hypocrite actually comes to us from the Greek world. We define it today as a person who puts on a false appearance, usually one of good or virtue. We tend to think of that word in connection with religious leaders or politicians who don't live out what they preach to others. But the word actually has its roots in the world of the theater. It originally referred to actors in a play. As was the custom, actors in ancient Greece would wear a mask to cover up their true identity, to help them play the various roles that they were playing. And so in time, the word came to refer to people who wore a figurative mask in their lives, who pretended to be someone or something that they were not. Thus, this term was a most accurate term to be leveled against the teachers of the law and the Pharisees by no less than Jesus himself. Jesus said to the scribes, "They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplace and have the most important seats in the synagogues and places of honor at the banquets. But they devour widows' houses." And then in talking of the Pharisees and of the teachers of the law, Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah and said this about them: "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." It's in this spirit, then, that Caiaphas sought to have Jesus killed. He didn't care who Jesus was. He only cared about maintaining his position, and I should say the position of the Jews in the Roman world. They might not have liked the Roman occupation of their land, but the Jews had learned to live with it. And for the most part, they could come and go. They could worship as they pleased. But Jesus threatened all of that. His talk of a new kingdom, combined with the powers that he had to perform miracles, and then the following that he was amassing, was enough to put Rome on notice. And so the high priest wanted Jesus silenced. The high priest cared more about his religious traditions than he did about truth. He cared more about himself than he cared about others. And thus his religion was nothing more than a facade of virtue masking the true sinner beneath. Which brings us to the question, what is your religion? Is it a true expression of your heart? A guide for your life? The essence of who you are? Or is your religion a mask? A front? A facade? Something which presents well to the world, but is in no way really defining of who you are? One of the definitions of hypocrite in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary is as follows. It says, a person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs or feelings. Let me say it again. A person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs or feelings. Now, I hate to contradict Merriam-Webster on this definition, but it's wrong. You see, if that is truly the definition of a hypocrite, then every single person on earth is a hypocrite. Because none of us live so perfectly and so consistently as to not contradict our own beliefs and feelings. That's just part of being a sinful human. That's why Paul said, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I want to do is not, for what I do is not the good that I want to do, no. The evil I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. Does that make Paul a hypocrite? No. It makes him a sinner. It makes him weak. It makes him fatally flawed, just like the rest of us. You see, it only becomes hypocrisy on our part if we then hold others to the standard that we ourselves can't keep, or if we don't even have the desire to do what we claim to believe. But simply not being able to successfully hold to the standards that we strive toward does not make us hypocrites. It simply reveals us to be sinners. And that's why we need Jesus. Because we are fundamentally and we are fatally flawed. We can't always live out what we believe. We won't always do what we know to be right. Our lives will not be perfect examples of God living in us. We need Jesus. We need the blood-stained cross in the empty tomb. We need the forgiveness that he has won for us through his death and his resurrection. And others need him too. And so, for our religion to be true, we must confess simply that we are sinners who need Jesus. And we must realize that we are no better than the people outside the church who are merely sinners who need Jesus also. Now, their sins may differ from ours in size or scope, but they are no worse than we are, and no less in need of God, what God offers and gives to us, namely the forgiveness of our sins. True religion isn't about being good. It's about being forgiven. It's about being honest with ourselves and merciful to others. It's about realizing that our salvation comes to us as a gift, not as a reward, and that the gift is intended by God for everyone, not just us inside the church. And finally, it's about confessing our utter need and reliance on Jesus, knowing that only He can rescue us or rescue anyone from what Paul calls these bodies of death. May we live with these humble understandings for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.